4-1-4.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. A lot of questions to talk about this hour of the show, starting off the week. How about this one? Here's a loaded one for you. Will the N-word bring down a presidential campaign for a Texas governor? More problems with failed green projects. Will that hurt President Obama in the polls? Did anybody nail the score on the lighter side? Lots of things to talk about. Let's start with what I think was the big bombshell politically over the weekend and, of course, made big news. But is it race baiting? Is it something that was dug up from the past that was exaggerated? Or was this just a brutal snag for Governor Rick Perry of Texas? Yeah, here's the deal. I want you to listen to the story first and then think about it for a second, okay? And we know what the N-word means to so many people, how offensive it is. I'm sorry, I think it's offensive. So here's the deal. Rick Perry's father, forever and a day, 30 years ago, started a deer lease. You know, it's a hunting camp. Anybody out there who hunts, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's where you go, you hang out with the guys, you're hunting deer, right? Colorado, Texas, lots of places where you can find deer. Minnesota, a lot of places in the Midwest where many of you are listening to us. So here's the scoop. This was dug up. Apparently, the property that the Perrys have rented, or leased is the proper way to say it, for a very long time, a portion of the property visible on a rock at the entrance, this is what's being reported, was this word, ready? Niggerhead. Can you imagine? So now, what happened was, as this story was breaking open, the Washington Post talked to, they say, seven people. They got some interesting things. A former worker said he believed he saw it as recently as 3 years ago. Rick Perry's roommate said from UT when they were in college together that they would go and hunt there, and he never saw such thing. Then there were other people who said the same thing who weren't quite as tight with Rick Perry. Now, his name was on the lease for the property from 97 to 2007. So his campaign had to issue a statement over it, right? And what they said is Perry's father painted over the language on the rock right after he leased the land in the early 80s, 1,000-acre piece of land. And he said that the governor, not his family, nobody, owned or controlled or even managed that property, that in fact it was owned by a Texas charity called the Hendrick Home for Kids. And the Hendrick people, because they're getting bombarded with phone calls, say they weren't aware of the name, and they are trying to track down where this whole story is coming from. Now, David Axelrod, he's no dummy. He's one of the people running the president's reelection campaign. He's the chief strategist, that would be his official title, for the reelection of President Obama. Didn't comment on any of the specifics, but he said it was an example of the challenges that, hey, candidates like Perry face. And here is the big quote, though, because he had to get a jab in. He said, campaigns are like an MRI for the soul. Whoever you are, eventually people find out. And he said, time will tell whether this comes to reflect him or not. Herman Cain was part of the Sunday Swirl. If you've never listened to my show, I apologize. Let me explain what Sunday Swirl is. It's the talking heads that are on all over the place. Cable, NBC, ABC, CBS, the Sunday morning political fights. So this was juicy for Sunday morning, and it injects the race issue again into the campaign on the Republican side. So Herman Cain, and of course, if he's asked about it, of course he should respond that way. He was asked, and he said, look, there's no more vile, negative word than the N word. And all he said really when he was pushed about it was for him to leave it there as long as he did until before I hear they finally painted over it. It's just plain insensitive to a lot of black people in this country. And Cain was on Fox News Sunday when he said that. And of course he had a very big week coming off of a big week where he's finishing third in the polls and everybody wanted to get him as a guest. So he was naturally going on the shows anyway. And since he's a candidate on the Republican side, that makes sense. That wasn't fueling anything. He was just slated to be a candidate on those shows. So let's see how the Texas governor two steps around this. Because, you know, what they're having to do is issue all these statements, and he's going to be asked about it. And the latest statement that came just a short while before I jumped on these airwaves is they said that there is a long and strong record of inclusiveness in appointing African Americans to key state posts, and saying that to suggest in any way whatsoever that this guy is any kind of a racist is just outrageous and ridiculous, you know, flipping it around, that it's untrue. One of his longtime friends, a guy named Fred McClurry, was quoted all over the place, including the New York Times. He said it's, you know, when you talk about black people and Rick Perry, he says it's just ridiculous. It's not only untrue, but it's extremely unfair. But perception is reality. Do you think this takes a chunk out of Rick Perry's campaign? Does this officially start to sink him a little bit lower in the polls? I think it's all how it's handled in the next couple of days. Because that's what Perry's people are saying. They're saying, look, nobody knew this. The family painted over it. What are you talking about? And then it's all about how it's received. That's what I think. Because you cannot deny that that's the word listed on a rock at the entrance. You know, that's pretty potent. There's no way to dance around that. However, you're hearing mixed reports about when it was there and was it painted over and all that sort of stuff. All right, besides the politics of the N word, how about the politics of the green word when it comes to money? Money that the government is ponying up in loan guarantees. There is yet another problem. Solyndra aside, now there is a company called the Nevada Geothermal Power Plant that's in trouble. They're struggling with debt at just the operating plant. Now, there are some key differences between the geothermal plant and Solyndra, and they say that they're going to be able to pay back the loan. They feel confident about that. But there is some scary parallels as well. You interested? Oh, I'm going to tell you what 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is very concerned about. Stay with us here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile. There's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold, and tell them Jason sent you.
Still ready to save? Then you're ready for the fall super sale at HerbalHealer.com. HerbalHealer.com has been the leader in quality natural supplements since 1988. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of incredible fall savings on all sale products running through October 18th. HerbalHealer.com is proud to offer eFoods Global products, premium storable foods that are delicious, contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. All you do is just add water. To learn more, click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com, and you can try eFoods storable meals for free. And don't forget to click the specials link for even more savings at HerbalHealer.com. Be sure to sign up for our free newsletter. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time. Hurry, sale ends October 18th.
Here on ATN, the start of another week, as I said right at the top, crazy week in the NFL, without a doubt, and we'll break that all down for you, too, a little bit as we go into our second hour here on the show. And also, did anybody nail the score? I mean, that's a key thing. So many of you called, gotten great response to that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you just flip this on, and you're like, what is she talking about? Nail the score. We're always nailing the politicians during the week, so we do a fun thing called Nail the Score. Week 4 in the NFL, it was the Lions and the Cowboys, and that was a crazy finish to that game. But all you care about is you don't even have to know anything about football. For 3 segments in our Friday morning show in our third hour, our computer randomly picks the game of the week, and then you tell us what you think the final score is going to be. Who's going to win it? You know, so in other words, all you'd have to do is say either the Lions or the Cowboys and what you thought the final score was going to be. I'm going to tell you that I picked the right team, but boy, did I pick the wrong score. I had the Lions 21-17. Mm-hmm. Boy, it turned out a little bit different. As I said, we'll tell you that at the, we'll tell you that in our next segment. Actually, we'll wrap it up a little bit in odds and ends. Okay, this is another sting, I think, to the administration. Here's the scoop. There's a company, as I just mentioned it before, Nevada Geothermal Power. And what it is what you think it is. It's geothermal power, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to run clean energy, and electricity, of course, is so huge in Nevada. And what they do is, what they've done is, they actually did an audit and looked at the cash reserves, and the company They're concerned about the ability to continue. There's some doubt about their ability to continue. So they haven't filed for bankruptcy yet. Not yet. However, it is a, there, here's the similarities. I said there were some parallels and some big differences. We know the story of Solyndra and that big sting to the White House because they made a big deal about the solar panels in this company and they had the guaranteed loan given to Solyndra and it was, you know, over $500 million. So in this case, same thing, guaranteed loan, all of that sort of stuff. But the parallels are the fact that you've got clean energy and it shows you how rough it is, how the marketplace is so tough anyway. And now you've got the government in this and pumping money into it and the loan guarantee thing. I mean, this is a risky venture, to be sure. A lot of people have tried some green things and they've fallen on their faces. But the big difference between the two is that one filed for bankruptcy. They did solar panels. Geothermal is a lot further down the line. So the amount of money, too, is different. The money that we technically have sank into this because it's our money, we're the taxpayers. So just so you know, you have put in a loan guarantee of $79 million plus at least $66 million in grants. That's a lot smaller than the $528 million, to be exact, that was dumped into Solyndra. And, of course, there's no allegations of anything that went on secretively between anybody in the government and what happened with this geothermal plant or even the other plant in Nevada. It's called Blue Mountain. The only thing is that you have the people behind this company, the executives, who feel confident that they feel confident that they can recover, and they say that it's not at risk, the government's investment, but they have some big challenges because they have high debt. They have very, very high debt and lower than expected energy at the plant. Because, see, this is the thing. Wouldn't it be great if we had renewable energy, cheaper, better? I mean, who's going to say, no, I want to pay more? But it's not there yet, right? So the geothermal plant produces about 3,000 megawatts of power, and that's nothing for the national electricity supply across this country. Think about it. We've talked about this a ton. So it generates just 35 megawatts, about enough to serve, they say, according to everything that I've read, including what I saw in the NYT today, 35,000 houses a year. And they've got just 22 employees. So remember, Solyndra had 1,000. I don't think the company was vetted out well because you had the Chinese selling solar panels cheap, cheap, cheap. And people are going to go for cheap, cheap, cheap. So there was no market for what Solyndra was trying to sell. But the interesting thing here is there is one politician really wrapped up in this. He was shaking the mantle for this place. And who do you think it is? Of course, Harry Reid, the senator from Nevada. I mean, his statement was, this is the initiative we need. He visited the plant. And he was there months before they got conditional approval for the energy department loan guarantees and all that stuff. And so when he was there, it was a big photo op and all kinds of pictures were taken and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But this amount is small in comparison to Solyndra. And geothermal energy can really work, but it just depends. I mean, they've obviously hit a few snags. In the future, this is a great idea for lots of different reasons. So there's a difference between geothermal and, of course, solar panels and the two companies. But again, it does raise the red flag. It does put us on alert, don't you think, when you see this story? Yeah, I think so. Especially when we have no budget. The debt talks are ridiculous. We keep going back and forth as to what's going to be dumped, what's going to be kept, who's going to get screwed in this whole thing. It's the same old argument, round and round and round and round we go. And this is just more pieces of it. What are the guaranteed loans? How are they vetted out? When it comes to new technologies, are we sure when we really don't have the money, are we pumping are we pumping the money into the wrong things at the wrong time? Certainly for Solyndra it was. I think this plant, they turned it around, and then that is a whole different thing. But it's just a warning. It's just a warning about how many other snags could be out there. How many other potential problems are there with some of these guaranteed loans, right? How many? Hey, coming up on America Tonight, a little odds and ends for you. Like I said, I'm going to tell you whether anybody actually nailed the score or not. Plus, Dick Cheney comes out and says, listen, this is going to sell some books. No, maybe. Dick Cheney comes out and he says, it's time that the president, President Bush, gets an apology. Why is he owed an apology? Well, I'll tell you why. And Wall Street protesters, now it's starting to gain a little steam. When I was there a couple of weeks ago, it was a small band of people, and you could hear them, and you could hear the chanting and everything, but it was small. It was pretty small. Now it's gotten a lot bigger. 700 people actually jammed up the Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday. Now a bunch of people have been arrested, and there are similar protests that are rolling out in big cities, and the basic premise of it is forget the rich people, that we're getting screwed by the people in Wall Street, and it's time that the nonsense ends. You know, the bank's too big to fail, kind of that same thing, based on all the things that we've seen lately. So it's not just one group. It's a whole bunch of people that are coming together to protest. And see, this is a hard thing to protest. We protested on the air all the time, I think. Corporate greed. People are just venting their frustrations. I think corporate greed, gas prices, health insurance woes. I mean, just a myriad of things have been yelled out by the Occupy Wall Street folks. And like I said, it's now spread to Los Angeles and Chicago and Boston and Seattle, similar types of movements. So this has been 3 weeks in New York. And how would you classify them? Do you think anyone's taking them serious? Are they just a bunch of nuts? Are they starting the conversation? The problem is whenever you have a grassroots movement, you have to have a leader. You have to have some kind of an organization, and it's not that organized. Although I give them credit, because how many of us aren't going to argue about corporate greed, right? Odds and ends on the flip side. Stay with us.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Attention military, law enforcement, recreational shooters, airsoft and paintballers. OpsGear is celebrating its 10th anniversary and you can save 15% on your order right now. OpsGear is your source for head-to-toe tactical gear for duty, range, field, guns, recreation and more. Check out clothing, knives, targets, optics and gun accessories, molly gear, vests, bags and packs, multicam, holsters, boots, police gear, training supplies and more. Or check us out online at OpsGear.com. That's OPSGEAR.com.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's One World, W-H-E-Y.com.
Here on ATN, one of my favorite segments. All right, I gave you a mini preview of what we were going to talk about. Here's what it sounded like as far as the protesters are concerned. Take a listen. Can we hear that again? All right, that's pretty loud. So I'm going to give them an A for effort and then some. Good for those people that have been there for 3 weeks. Like I said, there's not one person spearheading this, but they're loosely called Occupy Wall Street, and they have a general assembly each day for the people that are there for a few hours. They camp out. They discuss what's going on. The whole mission is just to, I think, gain attention to what the problem is in this country. The people are just blind to some of the things that are happening. Now, in Chicago, I checked on this earlier. They've actually been doing it for a while, too. They're in their 10th day, and they've got a big website going, and they had a huge afternoon march in L.A. They did the same thing, Occupy Los Angeles. they did a march. They're at Pershing Square to City Hall is what they did there. If you know anything about L.A., let's just say it was a, I want to say that's like a mile, a couple miles maybe at the most. And then what they were shouting was the revolution's happening. It's not just in the news. So from what I can figure out, there's maybe 32, 34 groups. And there's unions, there's grassroots kind of movements. There, I mean, and it's everything that you can imagine that's being talked about. Here's what I loved. One of the things that that came up over the weekend was Bank of America. And Bank of America, of course, is now charging you, they're going to in the beginning of the new year, $5 when you use your ATM card. Is that ridiculous? If you use your debit card, basically. And, you know, they're like the mafia. They want a piece of everything. They all of a sudden, if you bank at Bank of America, you know this, you'll get a maintenance fee, $25 maintenance fee. I mean, they just keep sucking the money out of us. I was having this conversation with somebody when I was checking out a line. And sure, I might have a tendency to sound like I'm on a microphone, but I wasn't talking that loudly, to be honest. And the checker chimed in and said, oh, yeah, don't worry. It's going to, all banks are going to be that way. Because I was telling the person, you know, you look for a credit union or a bank that you know is pretty solvent in your area, because that's what's going to happen with all these big banks. They're not lending money. They got all that money in the bank's too big to fail nonsense a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. And then they're slapping us with more and more fees. I mean, it's one thing to pay a fair fee, but I think they're charging way too much. So the biggest thing that's happened so far, and the voices you just heard there, there were 700 protesters, give or take. There might have actually been a few more because I saw the crowd, that they were on the Brooklyn Bridge, and they 50 or so were arrested. They were cited for blocking the roadway. And then there was a confrontation and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And the deputy commissioner for New York City Police Department said that they were given all these warnings, that they were blocking the pedestrian walkway and the main roadway. And there was a shutdown of the Manhattan to Brooklyn Bridge traffic for several hours, and how ridiculous that was, and, you know, whatnot. But, hey, they're gaining steam. If we're talking about it on America Tonight and other people are talking about it, not just the obvious candidates, the people who have printed a few things. And as I said, when I was there, it was small, but good for them for hanging out and talking about the things that we're constantly venting about here on these airwaves. Maybe a physical show, I don't know, what does it lead to? Does it lead to anything substantial? You know, that's the thing. Is it going to lead to any kind of a change? Maybe it just gives some more faces, I think, to the frustration that so many people feel. That's what I would say. I mean, the best thing that can happen there is probably that. All right, how about this? I'm going to let you hear what Dick Cheney had to say about the Bush apology thing. Now, what do you think Cheney feels that Bush is owed an apology for? I'm not very good at game show themes, but it goes something like that, doesn't it, Jeopardy? The former vice president talked about the Obama administration Sunday for, you know, talked about what was going on for using a drone strike to kill, and this is a huge story, the American-born Muslim cleric, Al-Awlaki, as you know, but said that if they're doing that, shouldn't they reverse all the criticism of Bush's actions against suspected terrorists? Why isn't he getting nailed for that? If this is one of the top terrorist recruiters in the world, he was killed in Yemeni on Friday in Yemen, then why should Bush get nailed for what happened as far as the conversations with what the CIA did and the waterboarding stuff and all of that? You know, if they're waiting for an apology, I think they're going to wait a very long time. Because as we know, all of the hubbub over what you can and cannot do with interrogation techniques, you know, enhanced interrogation techniques, and the big thing was the waterboarding. All of them have been banned by this president. He's saying, well, if they can use the drones and they can clearly take out this terrorist and they're not getting any blowback for it, well, then why did Bush take so much abuse for what was consulted upon legally with waterboarding? Is the Obama administration, are they repeating things? And in fact, the former Congresswoman Jane Harman, Democrat from California, right? You know, Jane Harman. She said that, some of the critiques of the Bush White House and its secrecy are valid. But she said, I don't think the Obama folks should be repeating the mistakes. I think the debate about the legal, see, it's always the legal thing, about the legal grounds for counterterrorism strategy should be more in the open. We should have a legal framework around our interrogation and detention policies far more than we do now. Now, who cares about this former congresswoman except for forever and a day? She's definitely someone you can go to get a comment from, because she was one of the top members of the House Intelligence and Homeland Security Committees forever. I mean, really, until she stepped away. And part of that was, what about drone strikes? Because we've gotten attacked about drone strikes because you're killing innocent civilians sometimes. And how come they're able to do that? And yet everything that happened in the Bush administration was wrong. I don't know, so far off course or not. And then that just brings up the whole thing about the drone, out of bounds or not. What do you think? I don't know. I'm going to say, when I say I don't know, I have an opinion about the drones. I think that the drones are necessary. I think if you want to take out terrorists, if we're in this age of technology, it's the only course you really have other than throwing these soldiers out there the way we are already anyway, and putting them in these villages where they're sitting ducks and targets and everything else, and they try to gain the friendship of the people in Afghanistan, for example, in these remote areas. And when they know, for example, that they had one of the worst recruiters for Al Qaeda, as far as Americans are concerned or others, when they had Al-Awlaki there, they had to take him out. How could you not take him out? And of course, there wasn't any collateral damage that time. Collateral damage is absolutely reprehensible. But do you think there's no collateral damage whatsoever in war? So with the drone thing, I got to say, whatever administration it is, they got to be able to use the drones. With enhanced interrogations, I mean, what was gained from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed from the waterboarding? And the answer is, and what Cheney says and what several other people have said in the past, is that's how they got names. That's how they were able to connect the dots. Then you'll have other people who also work for the CIA who will refute that and say it's not necessary. You don't have to do that. It doesn't matter now because we're not doing any of that. We're not doing any of the enhanced techniques. But it goes back to the same thing, that we've said in the past. How much is too much? Where is the line? And when you're in these current situations, you know, it's the old thing about war is hell. Where is the line? When is too much? And how do you step back from it? I guess that's what Cheney's saying. Okay, so we want an apology because they're not stepping back. They're just stepping in a different direction. That's what they're doing. Ugh. All right, one last one. Did anybody nail the score? Well, the answer is nobody nailed the score. I told you what my guess was, 21-17. I said that the Lions would beat the Cowboys, and in fact, the Lions did beat the Cowboys, but it wasn't 21-17. Nobody nailed the score. There's always next week, week 5 in the NFL. Hey, coming up next here on America Tonight, The Weekly Rewind, a conversation with a religious leader about politics and other things that ail these United States. Hang with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley-C. Why Alley-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley-C. For more information and to order Alley-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley-C today.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't want it? On 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Now available at Amazon.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, of course, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Just finished a great book called Responsible, and the author of that book is Pastor Matt Hege, and just such a great read. You know, with all the time crunches we're all in, it's very hard to sit down and within the course of 2 days finish a book. So to me, in my world, that means this was really good stuff. And as all of you know, I don't push things that I don't like. And there's a number of reasons why this book is a good read. And we've talked about religion and the beating that religion is taking these days due to many of the things that are happening in the world today. So without further ado, Pastor Hege joins us. Thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate you joining us on America Tonight.
And Kate, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
As I said, I really did enjoy reading the book, and you tackled all kinds of things. And what I liked about the book right from the get-go, one of the things that you mentioned at the top is what people worry about, you know, the everyday things. What do you do about the mortgage? What do you do about retirement? What about kids in college? All the things that are weighing on people's shoulders today. Not like they didn't three decades ago, but life seems a little bit different from the 70s to where we are now in 2011. And I think that's part of the reason why I said religion is taking a beating, because you got to reach people who are very disillusioned. Do you find that's one of the main things that you find yourself doing, Pastor, trying to really reach out to those people who feel downtrodden and out of it?
Well, absolutely. As a pastor, I'm always reaching out. And doing so in an effort to give people the opportunity to continue to believe. And that basis of belief is really the key ingredient to making a difference at any level. In regards to having a better business, the first thing you need to do is believe that you can. If you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, you have to believe that your marriage can improve. If you want to see a change for good in the world, and I don't know anybody who doesn't, at least anyone in their right mind, you have to believe that the world is someplace that you can impact and make a difference. And so one of the reasons why I hear the term that religion is taking a beating is because, one, we as religious leaders have forgotten how to inspire people to continue to believe, and, two, we have failed to demonstrate daily relevance in the busy and fast-paced world that we're living in. As you mentioned, people worried about mortgage and worried about college tuition and 401ks that are not even, you know, available as they thought they would be, and all of the myriad of issues that life throws at you these days. And then, three, I think that we have, in some regards, not been as sincere as we need to be about what it means to be a human being and a man and someone who is in desperate need of a merciful God.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking about reaching adults, what about the younger set? What about the youth? Because today, you see this, they walk around a lot of kids, even in high schools and whatnot, with their heads down because they're texting all day long. So how do you get children, whether it's preteens, teenagers, and in their early 20s, involved in embracing religion and embracing God?
Well, I think that it requires a great deal of effort, not only on the behalf of the church, but at home. We often here at our church have parents who come and they say, I'm looking for a program that, and what they're really going on to explain is that they're wanting to outsource the responsibility of parenting because they're too busy. And one of the reasons why kids are so disconnected in their own technologically fast-paced world is because the original social network that meets around the dinner table has broken down. Dad comes home at 8 p.m. after the kids have already done their homework and are getting ready for bed. The kids eat in front of the TV and mom drinks a shake because she's working out and doesn't want the extra calories. And, you know, I mean, all of those things are fine, but the byproduct of them is that you have failed to have one of the most important moments of your day, and that is a moment of connection with every member of your household and your family. And so as a church, we encourage families, spend time together, sit down and stare at each other, turn off the television and ask simple questions like, how was your day? And just see what kind of a conversation unfolds. And as you talk about reaching teens, the best way to reach a teenager is get them while they're young, so that whenever they get to be teenagers and suddenly get the opportunity to know everything, they remember who you were way back when.
I like that. Get the opportunity to know everything. You remember when you were a teenager. I remember
absolutely.
When I was a teenager.
I was brilliant at 18, and I'm absolutely having to reinvent myself now that I'm past that age.
I understand. One of the things you say in your book is you say there isn't an area of life that doesn't require response. We're required to respond. We must respond politically. We can't afford to continue abusing the future generations of this nation for what seems to be popular and convenient today. What did you mean by that?
Pretty much exactly what it stated, that we as a nation, and it really doesn't matter your age, we as a people in America have got to really face tough issues. One, you cannot change what you will not confront. And I believe, and then you can even notice this in the current political debates and campaigns that are taking place, there are certain candidates who feel like there are certain issues that you can't talk about. Well, we need to talk about it. And in doing so, we have to come to terms with who is going to sacrifice, because we cannot continue to exist as we do. We cannot continue to vote for a lifestyle that we cannot afford. There are several reasons why. One reason in particular is that we, at this point in this country, have more consumers than we do producers. It is a very simple fact that there were a lot more Americans born during the baby boom than there were during the baby bust. And in light of that issue, we have more people needing the assistance than are producing the assistance. So how do we address that? Do we continue to print money that makes us feel like we can keep going as we are? Or do we say, you know what, it was a great idea if all of the things we assumed would happen did, but it didn't play out that way, and we've got to make a change. If we don't come to terms with those tough issues, we're going to derail the train of this freedom-loving nation pretty quickly, and it needs to be something that we have the courage to address. We cannot afford to ignore it. Otherwise, our children and our grandchildren will not enjoy the quality of life we currently do.
Oh, I so agree with that. Speaking of the candidates in 2012, is there anybody that stands out to you yet at this point? Is there anybody that you like so far? Is it too early to call?
You know, I kind of like looking at it in terms of that Secretariat is currently a movie I'm totally loving. My kids enjoy it. Everybody gets real happy when we hear "Oh, Happy Day" at the end. And just like that particular legendary horse, every time he broke from the gate, he always fell to the rear. And yet he obviously won more races than he lost. The reality of our current political race is they've just broke out of the gate, and calling it right now would be a waste of time. I mean, I like a candidate by the minute, by the moment, by the speech, by the soundbite, by the tweet. I'm following a ton of them on Twitter right now just to see what their new bumper stickers are going to say next week. So I have to be careful before I commit to a bumper sticker.
Boy, no kidding. We just have a few moments left, but quickly, Palestinian statehood. How do you feel about that and our role with Israel?
You know, America is a democracy. Israel is a democracy. We have a great deal of common ground with that very brave nation in a very hostile area of the world. I believe that as allies with Israel, we owe them the support that they deserve. The UN this last week heard quite a bit of conversation about the desire for the Palestinian people to become a recognized state at the UN. The United Nations in and of itself has a very rigid procedure that you must go through before you can be recognized as a state. The Palestinian people have not yet accomplished those things, yet they are prematurely talking about it and doing so without the United States stepping up to say this is not the proper time for this conversation. And I believe that here in the West, as a democracy, we owe that to a democracy in the East. And if the Palestinian people wish to become a state and a nation, then they need to do that in the proper form, not as a matter of political opportunity or convenience.
Yeah, and we'll see how that all plays out, of course. Pastor, thanks so much for, you know how that is. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, the book is called Responsible. Pastor Matt Hagee, we'd love to have you back on the show. Will you join us again sometime?
You know I will. I look forward to it, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right, thanks, Pastor.